Hello, everybody. What is up? Oh boy, has it ever been a while. My name is Desmond Del Caslo, and welcome to Stuck in Middle Age. This is episode 5 of season 2, and yes, we have done it. We have hit episode 20, so congrats, gents. Woo. Of course, I'm speaking with my two buddies here, Adam Duncan and Jay Sproul. Gents, how are you?
Good, boys. Yeah, congratulations on number 20. Although the Bartlett ones were kind of like, that was like one episode that we divided into three episodes because I told a story that was an hour long.
Well, yeah. And speaking of Bartlett, Team Canada qualifying for the Olympics, like you talked about way back then. So, and chatting with him, he's ready to come back on.
Oh, but, did you guys watch that game? Did you guys watch that game?
Oh, well.
Well, you know how into basketball I am.
I did see the highlights and the scores, though.
I definitely saw the highlights. Yeah. Yeah. I watched a quarter of the one game where it was Meltdown City and everyone freaked out afterwards. I can't even remember if it was Spain or who we played, but
no, that
everyone
was
losing it.
Yeah, Spain.
And of course, Spain. When the media is losing it, I start to lose it and talk about things I have no idea what I'm talking about, like basketball. And I'm running into people and I'm like, yeah, man, did basketball ever choke yesterday or last night? You know, like I have no idea what I'm talking about.
But they didn't choke. They came back.
I know. And then like 2 days later, they qualified for the Olympics. I'm like, what was everyone? There's one guy on Sportsnet. I can't stand him when he was taught. He's very dramatic. And it was just like, oh, my God. I think it's a Rash Madani. I'm not sure if that's right or not. But I was just like, I can't listen to this guy talk about Canada basketball, and he's like ready to just get right off the bandwagon. And I was like, dude, for people who aren't really watching like me, who aren't really basketball fans like me, but will get behind the team 100%. Well, I'll get behind the team 100% when they make the Olympics, which they have. But I was like, that guy needs to calm down.
I didn't realize people still hate this stuff. So like I woke up in the morning and I was excited to see the headline. So of course I just sent you guys a text right away, right off the hop. Not realizing you guys taped the thing, meaning to watch it later. So sorry for ruining that.
Oh, I did. And then you screwed us. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But that was the last game.
I still watched the second half. And the end of that game was pretty crazy. Ultimately, congrats to Team Canada and Mr. Bartlett. But on qualifying for the Olympics, that was, of course, the main goal of the Basketball World Cup. But Adam, let's get to it. So what are you drinking over there?
Well, I am having a Guinness.
All right.
And I'm drinking it out of one of my favorite glasses. It's the 60th anniversary Comox Valley Hurling Club glass.
All right. Jay, yourself?
Well, I just got back from a riveting basketball game with my daughters where they came back. They were down 14-4 and they came back with a last minute or last second shot to win the game. Ooh. By one. Nice. So it was pretty exciting. Nice.
What was the final score?
It was high scoring, 26-25.
There you go. Hey, a win is a win.
But then I had to rush back here because we had this time slot booked. And so I bombed across town and then I got home and realized I didn't really have anything in the fridge, which is unusual. So I had to dig into the spare stash pack that's under the stairs in the garage. And the only thing that was in there was a 12 pack of White Claws. So I'm drinking a Black Cherry White Claw hard seltzer. But I'm going to have to get off these things because summer's over and I think I might have to get back to the beer.
Speaking of that, full of sugar, those things, even though they say they're not or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, they're pretty sweet. I mean, I didn't gain or lose any weight over the summer, but I do look fatter. So I just maybe lost some more muscle or something. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm drinking a Bud Light seltzer hard soda lemon lime. 0 grams of sugar, 80 calories. So there you go.
I tried out this thing. I got loaded on Saturday on essentially just vodka because I've never just been loaded on vodka before. But what I mixed it with was Pellegrino, Clementine and peach. And it's, so there's no sugar in it. So it's not really, it's almost kind of sweet, but not sweet. The Clementine kind of kills the peach sweetness. Put a couple shots of vodka in that. You couldn't even, it was like, I had to slow down or I was going to get annihilated. You know, vodka
doesn't that, that, that doesn't make your tongue like all like scratchy or fuzzy. It's a weird aftertaste, that vodka stuff. I don't know how guys do that. Like,
No, it was like a drink I made. I didn't get the drink. Like, it was not a pre-mixed drink. I got Pellegrino and a bottle of vodka, and I just like
you basically had vodka soda. Like, you're talking like you just came up with like a, I just made up this great drink.
I didn't say I made it up, Desmond. I'm just saying I started drinking something different, all right? That was not beer.
Well, that's all right. Cool. You got to be careful with the vodka, though. That stuff backs me up for days. Like, if I drink vodka.
Okay, listen. I've wanted to do a poop podcast for 20. Well, I guess maybe it was like the second or third episode. So don't be bringing up any poop stories right now, Jay.
I'm not. I'm backing it up. It's just getting backed up. That's all that's happening here.
Vodka backs you up? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Nah, it doesn't make any sense.
That's an old man comment.
No, it's not an old man comment.
Yeah, it's a fat old man comment.
Different alcohols treat you different ways, right? So when you and I drink Fireball, we like to get in parking lot fights. When I drink vodka, it likes to back me up. That's all I'm saying. Beer, it's kind of got the opposite effects. It'll clean me out.
Okay, well.
What are you talking about, man? Okay.
You know, I was going to say, the last episode we recorded was way back in June when Jay gave a download on the home and auto insurance. And I'm not sure why it took us so long to get back on the air. But now I was going to blame Adam. I was going to blame Adam, but now I think now I'm going back to Jay. Regardless, it's good to be back in the host chair. So we've got a good guest today, which we'll get to in a second. But I just want to, you know, as I said, it's been a while. So guys, would like, how's the summer? How was summer, Adam? We last saw you at Nations Cup, of course. Jay, I think I last saw you 2 weekends ago at the Red Jacket, which I won again. And right behind me is the trophy. So back wing wins.
Well, I was behind you too in second place. So it's not like
you were. Yeah, you were.
You didn't run away with it.
No, I didn't. So how was the summer, gents?
My summer was busy. It went very quickly. No, I have not seen you guys since Nations Cup. Did a lot of golfing. I did quite a bit of golfing this summer. I ended up winning the club championship in my flight. I am now officially a sandbagger at my golf course. I shot 73 on day one, and I believe I was a 7 handicap. So that put me down whatever the freaking math is, 66.
He's got and such a smirk on his face. Look at his face. He's like so excited about being a sandbagger.
Day two, I went out and shot 72. And yeah, so I was like net minus 14 or something crazy, minus 13. But honestly, the reason why I did so well was because of Max. Max was allowed to caddy for me. So he caddied both days. And he said to me, I think it was like through the first round, he's like, you know what you need? He goes, you just need a guy to talk it through. You need a guy to like kind of ask, like, is this crazy what I'm trying to do? And if the answer back is yeah, then yeah, I don't think so. I took that. I said yeah, but no, it wasn't. But I see what you're doing there. Good. And so, but he was right. And the other thing he did is he did a good job of following my booze intake. It was very
The in-game boost intake is what you're saying.
Yeah, like he really monitored that, which probably doesn't sound like good parenting because he's 15. But, you know, if I told him, give me another beer, he would be like, I don't think you need one yet. Like, just wait another half hole. Wait, you know, he's like, very good.
Your son's caddying for John Daly. I need another beer. Can I get another cigarette, please?
Kind of like that. And some people after the round were like, I'll take you for $300. I'll take you tomorrow. And I was like, no. This is a 2-day deal. So that was a little bit embarrassing, but I mean, what can you do? I mean, I was totally in the zone. Like, and I some people get in the zone for like a couple holes. I was in the zone for 36 of them. It was bizarre. And we even started, like, I went through the same drinking. If I could just do what I did at the Ancient Scout, I'd have 17 in my pocket. We moved one of my kids to university. So that was sad and new and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. That was it. I think.
All right, Jay.
Sounds busy, man.
Jay, what's up?
Just another summer, Jay. You know, I was out and about. Got to Sycamose for a week. We took the kids on that one. Hit the boat. Not my boat. Good old Bob's got a boat, so we were out surfing and stuff like that. It was fun.
Oh, you were what?
Got a good tan.
Surfing. Hang on a second. You were what?
Surfing. Well, I wasn't surfing. The kids were surfing.
Surfing what? With a boat.
Yes. Awake.
Yeah. I don't think that's surfing.
Hey, it's you better summer. Not say that on here because they're summer. Listeners. They're going to.
I don't care what they hear. It's not surfing.
All right.
So we did that. Fair and enough. Then.
I mean, if you want to come out to Tofino and actually surf.
I've never seen you surf. I don't.
They make a trip out here.
I actually don't even know you can swim. Like, I've never seen you swim.
I've never seen a video of you surfing. You talk
like you don't even look like a water guy. Like, you don't look like.
Like, question for you.
I've seen your hands.
How would you get a video of yourself surfing?
You'd have someone take
a video of you.
So in surf culture, there's this thing called a kook, right? If you're kind of you're not really a surfer, but you kind of think you are, and you put your suit on backwards, and you drag your leash, and you put the boards wrong, the fins wrong on the board, and things like that. Another kook thing is to film your buddy surfing from the edge of the. Because like, why would you bring your phone down to the beach?
Because somebody some people need evidence of your surfing.
Sounds pretty convenient.
But you just put the suit on and then you go down to the water and you surf. You don't bring your phone with you and take selfies and hey man, I'm getting in the water. Why don't you surf me? Why don't you video me surfing?
I just get a little upset when you're like making fun of my boat.
So judgy.
It's
ridiculous.
I get it.
It's ridiculous. And it's insulting to people.
It's not ridiculous. It's fun.
It's not insulting to
you and your surf friends.
It's like saying I played hockey, but really what you went was public skating.
So you just want me to say, when I describe it, you just want me to say wake surfing. You just got to make sure I use the word wake. Is that the problem?
I think you, not just with me, I think you should just in general. Otherwise you're lying. You're not surfing. There's nothing.
Well, it's a form of surfing.
You are surfing on a wave.
You are surfing. So it is technically true, I believe.
Surfing. Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
There's nothing.
It's technically true. It's the gray area of things, right? I live in the gray world all the time. You know that.
Here's gray the other this, thing.
Gray that.
If you took that board, went to Tofino or even Hawaii, I bet you.
It's anywhere a different board.
Just a long break. No, just keep the board. Keep the board. And you just went out there. People that surf, quote unquote, behind a boat. Think they could just go out to the ocean and surf and simple. It's easy. It's the hardest thing to get good at.
It got better from there. I bought a truck. So now I'm a truck guy. I back into parking spaces.
It's a
now.
Very nice truck.
Thank you. It is a very nice truck. It drives itself. So that's exciting.
It's gigantic. And it does. It drives itself. I was in it. I didn't like that.
It's a little weird. Desmond's been in it a few times. He just puts on the seat massager and just kind of falls asleep. So
yeah,
you drive quite slow in it, which is annoying. I don't like that part of it.
No.
Jen says that too, but I don't. It's just because it's got big wheels, and so it feels like it's going.
You drive slow in it. You drive too slow.
And gas mileage.
On the way to Radium, I was just beside myself in the back. Because
you're munching. I buy a brand new truck, and this truck, I probably like when I thought when I bought my next vehicle. If I was going to spend that much on a vehicle, I would have bought a Porsche or a something exotic. But no, I bought a GMC pickup and it cost me about the same.
Well, there you go.
I didn't have it more than 150 kilometers. I pick you up at the airport. You want to drive it like a crazy person. That's not happening.
Because you said I was going to drive your vehicle when I got to the airport.
Yeah,
so you started with a lie. Shocking. Shocking. I see him for 1 minute and he's lying.
It was a fib. Well, I didn't want to tell you the outright truth, but anyway, and then we see each other for like 30 seconds and you're like, let's head down to Spalumbo's and have some cutlet sandwiches in the back of your truck. No way that's happening. Anyway, it was a rocky start.
Okay, so we didn't, but we went and we had cutlets and we ran into.
And I lost that bet. The TSN guy.
Yeah. The football TSN guy. He was cool. What the hell is his name?
Yeah. Well, you seemed to know it at the time.
Why the hell don't I know now.
It starts with the F.
The CFL guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Farhan Lalji.
There we go, man.
He didn't look like Farhan. I can remember
Arash Madani, but I couldn't remember Farhan Lalji from TSN, who I much rather listen to.
He was actually a nice guy too. He played along with your bet there.
There was no playing along. I just said, dude, are you Farhan Lalji?
Can you settle a bet?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, can you settle a bet,
I
am. You said?
And I said, because this idiot doesn't think it's you. And he's like, are you going to the football game tonight?
He was wearing flip-flops.
You going to the football game tonight? And we're like, no, we're going out to a boy's, golf trip. Oh, well, you have a good time. I don't know what you mean by he was playing along, Jay.
Well, he was playing along. But anyway, so we finished up there. We did the golf trip. And then, yeah, I spent
Got your big truck that you won't let me drive and it's too slow. But anyways, yeah.
Can you let him finish?
Yeah. And then I went to San Diego and had a romantic trip with my wife. So made her happy. It's a good
How
finish
romantic?
For the summer. We went on a sailboat cruise. And get this. It was like a 35 foot. Might have been 40 feet. Sailboat.
Started at 30, got to 35, and now 40. We're at 40 feet.
Anyway, right. I can't remember. Anyway,
sounds like a Jay Scroll story.
We were supposed to be on this cruise with some other couples. Nobody else showed up, so we had the whole boat to ourselves.
That's
and then he
good.
Takes us out into the harbor, and then we're cruising by, and we do this like this 3-hour tour, and we got to cruise by North Island, where all the freaking Top Gun stuff is. It was wicked.
Oh, cool.
We just sat there, watched helicopters and planes take off. It was awesome. And then we made out on the front of the boat.
I was good. That's what I was going to ask. So
I actually threw out my back. I'm seeing a chiropractor now because of it.
Making out with your wife throughout your back?
Yeah, because I was on the front of the boat and they had these like weird beanbag chair things. And so I was like kind of, you know, when you get in a bad position, you're like, but you got to hold the position. That's kind of what happened. Now I got a crick in my neck.
Okay.
Okay.
So did the making out lead to anything on the boat? Like, did the captain have to put it on autopilot?
Well, why would the captain have to put it on autopilot?
Because the captain puts it on autopilot and then goes below while you go below. You know what I'm saying?
No. He could drive the boat and I went below. We could have gone below.
But you didn't.
Jeepers.
Hey, question. I think this is a good question. Maybe one of our listeners can answer it. So if the Mile High Club is on the plane, having sex on the plane, what would sex on a yacht, what would that be called?
The Down Under Thunder or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm asking. Isn't. There's got to be something for it called that.
Like,
I don't have an answer for you.
Like 69 okay. Leagues Under the Sea or something? Could be
69
that.
Leagues.
I'm thinking on the fly here. I think that's pretty good for thinking on
that
the fly.
That wasn't bad. No, it was better than Desmond's. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's just disgusted that we're talking about making love on a podcast
in a beanbag chair on a boat.
In a beanbag chair. Yeah, and it threw up my back, so it's weird. So I got to tell my chiropractor what happened.
You said it was your neck. You said you had a crick in your neck.
No, it went from the back up to the neck. It was up and down.
Stories okay, all over.
Anyways,
the place.
Is that it? Are you done about your summer? The summer of Jay?
No, it went on. Like I'm still in trouble for it, but because I've been away a lot. But anyway. That's a story for another day, but it was a good summer for me.
What about you, Desmond? How was your summer?
Summer was good. We went to Kookanoosa, did some surfing, as we covered already. Similar to Jay, behind a boat. So
boat surfing.
So it's not surfing then.
But it was good. It was good. I really appreciate it. Todd Morrell.
Maybe we'll ask our guest what surfing is, what real surfing is.
We'll bring it on. We'll bring him on and we'll ask him. We hit up Palm Springs. As family, and then Lynn and Olivia went out to Parksville for a bit. Luke and I went to Arizona, played some golf with my dad out there, caught Luke first ever Major League Baseball game for Luke, so that was pretty cool. And then obviously, you know, had some good wins in golf in the Red Jacket, and then Luke beat me straight up in golf for the same, you know, for the first time, so that was a big moment for him. Yeah, I mean, as excited as he was, I was like, I can't believe it happened so quickly. But anyway, these things happen. So,
well, you still got the two boxes left, right? Like he didn't play from the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. I told him the next time he beats me, it's got to be from the same tee box. But but still, it was still was impressive. So yeah, do we think we're ready for the guest here or what?
Yeah, I think that was a good intro. It's good to see you guys again. It's been a while, but.
It's good to see you guys. I just looked up quickly online. It's actually wake surfing, right? That's the official name of it. It's called wake surfing, not surfing.
I think that's what
you didn't. You said surfing when you
initially, and then I said, but it's on a wake behind a boat, is what I said.
That's not what you
said. I mean, I can rewind the tape.
I was like surfing with no rope behind a boat in a wave. That's pretty much what you do.
Oh my God.
But at least we have me doing it on video, and you have this mythical. This mythical thing that you do. I still can't imagine you up on a surfboard, but that's all right.
Maybe you can take us someday. You'll take us someday, and then we can witness it for ourselves.
Yeah. All right. shall we?
We shall. All
right, so, okay. So our guest today, I first met him about 8 or 9 years ago. And every time I pass by Wendy's, I definitely think of this guy after he hyped up the Baconator and insisted we stop for one on a drive home from downtown many, many years back. And then a couple of years later, he went next level on a birthday gift and delivered a ball of scotch to me that was wrapped up in a Wendy's bag. He's a thoughtful guy. He's embarking on a new career path as a life coach. I've actually referred to him on this podcast before as the worst Oilers fan, and he's everything that's wrong with Oilers fan. 34 minutes into episode 18, check the game tape. That being said, welcome to the show, Mr. Tyler Nicoletz.
Oh, God. You had to just lead with that, didn't you?
I did.
Hello, Tyler. Good to meet you, dude.
Good to meet you, Adam. Nice to see you again, Jay.
You as well.
Quite the intro, buddy.
What can make you like the worst Oilers fan? Because I'm an Oilers fan. Like, I don't understand how could you be the worst Oilers fan? What does that mean?
Well, let's ask this and then we'll go from there.
He's obnoxious. He's an apologist. Like, you know, he goes from like the highs of the highs and everything's wonderful and they're going to win. And then, you know, there's excuse after excuse after excuse after a loss. An Oilers fan, Adam, like, what, you aren't an Oilers fan. That's the first I'm hearing of this.
Oh, my God. First of all, you're describing what you just described as a Calgary fan with a touch of Vancouver fan, except the Vancouver doesn't come back and, like, make excuses. They just riot.
And a touch of the Leafs in there, too.
A lot of the touch of the Leafs. The Leafs. Yes. Only you don't have to put in, like, real sadness in there because that's Leafdom,
yes,
too.
Yeah. Just pure sadness. That's why I rolled off Dez's tongue so easy, because it's just exactly authentic to a Flames fan.
Oh, true. Gosh, he understands it. He understands, yeah. It's like he's looking in the mirror.
I almost put up all my other stuff in the background just for you, Dez. My hat, pillows, my oven mitt even. Should have done that for you.
Terrible.
I've been an Oilers fan since I was 9, maybe even younger.
No, you were a Gretzky fan.
Yes, I was a Gretzky fan.
Completely different.
Well, no, because I cheered for the Oilers when Wayne played for the Oilers. And then I cheered for LA.
You did not cheer for the Oilers during the Ryan Smith years.
I did so. I played against Ryan Smith back in bad
time. All right. There you go.
I started cheering for the Oil in 97. And I never changed when I moved up the highway. Pretty much losing my whole life as a sports fan, especially hockey, because I was forced to cheer for the Leafs growing up in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and then became an Oilers fan. So it's been a tough go. I think this is our year, though. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh. This is our year.
There's a new mindset, right, Adam? We're good. We got this.
Adam has no clue what you're talking about because he's not an Oilers fan. He couldn't name 5 Oilers.
Quickly look up Google.
Yeah, you see,
he's madly typing away.
Name 5 Oilers.
Oh, you can.
Okay, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Draisaitl, obviously McDavid.
I'm gonna have to edit out all of these long silences.
Nurse, I got Nurse. Yeah. Nurse,
there you go.
Oh my gosh.
Who's their goaltender?
And who's the goaltender? Is it still Ben Scrivens? Is that the kid? No? Okay. The Russian goalie's still not there, is he?
Who do the Flames have now?
See, that I don't know.
Conroy and Aginla?
We got
Conroy and Aginla are playing for them again. That's how bad things are in Calgary.
Yeah. Hey,
listen. Did you not see? We won 10-0 the other night.
That's pretty good. Against Vancouver. They're the worst team in like the AJHL.
Whatever.
I love that. I live in a city with an NHL team, but yeah, you guys are, what's the new buzzword? Retooling?
Nah. We'll be fine.
Okay. We'll be fine. Anyways.
So have you surfed before, Tyler? Do you surf behind?
No.
A boat? Okay.
God, no. No.
If you got pulled behind a boat and came in on a wake, a little, you know, like a 2-foot wave, and you came rolling in and you're like, yeah, look at me. And you're wearing your life jacket, which is smart. Don't get me wrong. You're in the middle of a lake. And then, you know, you throw the rope to your buddy and they got the music pounding and you're listening to Bon Jovi and you've had 9 beers and you throw the rope to him when you get in the slot and you're like, I'm surfing. Like, is that going through your mind, Tyler, when you're actually doing that? Like, do you think you're actually, like, you're Laird? Hey, you're like, yeah, I'm in Hawaii, man. I should be on the cover of Pro Surfer magazine. Like, what?
I didn't say Pro Surfer.
Oh, God. Was that what Dez was saying he did this summer?
And Jay.
Okay. It's just Adam. Right. Adam's a true surfer, apparently. So, but we don't have
never
any,
seen
evidence.
Any evidence of it.
I can see you, Des. It's just clear in my mind. Are we allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And talk about pooping too, Tyler. It makes Desmond uncomfortable.
Well, then I should talk about my dual seater outhouse at our 80-year family cabin in Northern Ontario, where you
come
can
ship on a dual seater.
Yes, you can ship with a buddy, or you can have a pee with your girl.
Are they side to side or back to back?
Side to side, and we have a screen door. You can overlook the water.
No,
and just
way.
Have a great old time. Bring in a drink, do your thing. There's a magazine from 20 years ago, and sanitizer when you're done.
Sounds brilliant,
that. Right?
Oh, I love that. Gosh. How didn't we have these kind of porta potties, dude?
Oh, yeah, the dual.
You
the,
missed
we,
out
we
on
call
that.
It the dueler.
Thank my great grandfather, and then it just got passed along. My girlfriend had the pleasure of, what did she call it this summer? She wouldn't go with me. I asked her many times, but she called the smell next level.
Yeah, that's probably the only.
It's pretty bad, but yeah. I thought the view was great. I've been there many times. Yeah, I should take a picture. I'll send it to you guys. It's quite.
Please do. Great. Please do. So,
please do.
Put that up on the wall.
Please do.
Let's get into this here. So we brought you on, Tyler, because you're embarking on a new journey here as a life coach. So first off, what is a life coach?
Good question. For me, with respect to my journey and where I'm at, life coach is perhaps the best way to describe it, a holistic way of helping people break through some of the limitations that they have. There's a difference between therapy and coaching, for example, and I've been through lots of different therapies. It's a very great approach, and it's a little bit softer. Coaching is somewhere where you can be more direct with the other person. You can challenge them. You can get to their goal quicker. You use all the therapy type tools. You're working on the present and the future, not the past like traditional therapy would be. And you really develop relationships. For myself, I've been coaching in sports for over 20 years, in business about 15 years, experience with a variety of different people that have helped me. So it's just one of those things where you become an empty vessel for somebody to really unload what it is that's holding them back and help them see futures to live into that they didn't know was there. You know, relationships, career, you know, health, fitness, it's really up to the person to, you know, be super authentic to what's holding them back.
So I think like I can kind of picture in my head, you know, what a business coach would be and why I might need one of those, you know, creating a path or something like that. But I've always had a hard time wrapping my head around, you know, what it is that a life coach actually does. And I think in my head, like I almost picture it like a therapist where I'm laying on the couch, I'm telling my life story, I'm trying to figure out things. And then you're kind of listening to me. But what I'm hearing is kind of like a life coach has that component to it. But then you're also like really involved with the person to create planning going into the future.
That's excellent, Jay. You become more of a project manager with them for their life.
Like if I had a problem with some aspect of my life, I could come to you and just kind of sign up for that. Or, you know, I can come to you sort of for an umbrella approach and or is it somewhere in between where you can kind of, you know, pick and choose between those kinds of things?
You can pick and choose for sure. With respect to how I work with people, there's a right fit component to make sure that the person is ready to go all in on themselves and figure out what it is that's holding them back. And it's not a one and done situation. So some other people are, you know, 1 to 3 sessions, they're good to go. For me, it's 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, and or group sessions, where it's, you know, males and or females and or a co-ed type session where it becomes what it needs to be. And if you're not looking at something from a perspective of ongoing support, you really don't get to the root cause of things. So sometimes what you just said, Jay, you could think what you expressed could be your initial thought of perhaps some problems that you have. And then underneath that, you find the goal underneath the goal. And that comes in time. And then there's breakthroughs, there's insights that happen, especially when you hold space for somebody, exactly what you said on a couch, you can let people go, but then you reel them back and challenge their thinking and really coach them through stuff. Like I'm not here to be somebody's friend. I'm here to create a relationship. I'm here to challenge you, make you feel welcome, to make you feel inspired, but challenge the shit out of you, because I'm not there to just please.
So then if I'm sitting across from you, I'm going to say, okay, Tyler, like, what qualifies you to do this? And, you know, my life in your hands here on this, you know, when you look at, like, did you decide to do this similar to the way you introduced yourself to your girlfriend? Like, you look in the mirror and it's, hi, my name's Tyler. I'm divorced. I don't have a job and I'm bald. And then I'm supposed to hand my life over to you. Like,
yes.
Right.
Super authentic. George Costanza move. Say all the things you're not supposed to say. Yes.
Which is, for the record, which is how you introduce yourself to your girlfriend.
I did, in a dog park without my dog. I was that creep that approached her. She had a fresh set of dog poo in a bag. And, you know, I just had the nerve. I made sure I approached her where there was open space and not around trees, so people didn't, and she didn't think it was some creep coming out of the bush. It was quite something. And whatever happened in that moment. Yeah.
How do you qualify? How do you qualify to be a life coach?
I do have certification. It's not a weekend warrior type thing. So there is a lot of people out there that get to a point and perhaps they find a purpose and good on them, and they just decide to do this, and or they take some, you know, 3-day course or what have you. And there's so many great options out there. For me, this has been the most recent course was about 5 months, and previous to that, I'm going to say hundreds and hundreds of hours in professional development I've done for myself, other coaching, other professional type services. I have my own coach. I have multiple coaches. So I definitely walk the talk. You can only help somebody as far as you've helped yourself. And I've, you know, I got one of those resumes. If you look back or if I reflect on it, you know, a lot of the things I've worked through, definitely am proud of where I'm at today, and all that stuff happens for a reason. We all heard the cliche. So for me, it's about, you know, the coaching aspect, being comfortable with exactly what I was saying previously, with challenging people. I've been challenging kids in sport, if you will, since I was 17. So I feel very comfortable in that setting. I have, I think, pretty good listening, and I'm not afraid to challenge people. So for me, it's just one of those things where I finally feel like I had my purpose. Kind of hit me over the head probably about 15 years ago, but really was scared to jump into it, had a lot of fear with it. And then who am I to start coaching, in my opinion, without any sort of certification besides all the experience that I have? One other thing that really, really got me off into this foot is I registered a multi-sport association, which I shared with you, Des.
Yep.
And it's a passion project. It's a few years away, but the idea of it was to continue to, for me, I want to disrupt some of the culture of typical associations out there and focus on the human development behind the modality of a sport involving the kids and the parents, not just one or the other, and have an integrated approach to just serving community level sports. And so for me, I just kept working on myself because of what I wanted to offer to others. And I'm like, oh shit, this is my calling. This is pulling me in a way I've never been pulled before. And walking away from a 26-year typical business career basically happening right now, besides going down to a fractional level, if you will, of my company, but it's been super supportive with my entrepreneurial aspirations.
I was just going to say, do you find that you're running into, like, I don't know how old you are.
48.
Okay, so I'm 47, the rest of us. So I think Jay's the youngest of the four of us. But are you running into right now kind of people that are your own age, and males, females, like what's, and then what's the biggest hurdle for you to get past with the guy or the girl that doesn't think they're broken or partially broken? Like, how, or is that the biggest hurdle in itself?
That's the biggest hurdle in itself. And good question. Just to be clear, for me, my avatar, if you will, without going into details, definitely from a demographic perspective, is 30 to 80. It's that broad of a range, all sexes. You know, usually around that 30-year-old mark, there's enough life experience, there's enough stuff that they've gone through that they're potentially grappling with, that they need somebody to hold a mirror and challenge their thinking. With respect to the males, there is a lot of us at our age range, that definitely are struggling. And I know the podcast is a perfect name with respect to some of us that get stuck in that middle age and go through lots of different things that we're challenged with. You know, the men I've dealt with, and I'm working with a gentleman right now. It's just, he's late 50s and he's struggling with a career change right now. And he's got all the tools and a successful life and lots of great things that he's been leaning into, but he just can't see his next steps. And so helping him, going back to your question, Jay, you become a bit of a project manager, but you're definitely there to challenge thinking, disrupt thinking, hold space for them. Because when they speak, and when we all speak, we can't hear, like somebody else needs to hear what it is you're expressing and pick up on some of those words and or body language, if it is on video, that they just don't see themselves.
Yeah. So my question is maybe kind of like, because I come from the background of you hold it in until you pop, right? Are you finding that men are in general coming out and finding that they know that they maybe need a life coach, or is it a struggle to find people actually want to use the life coach service? Because I think I would be fitting into that category. Like I don't know how I would fit into that scenario. And so like, how do you sort of market yourself to guys like that? And then on the flip side, you know, I have a hard time breaking up with people and a hard time like stopping things. It's like, I'm like the guy that gets a gym membership and then I'll just pay for it until I die. Cause I'm too worried about going in there and like stopping my payment or whatever. So like, do you set up parameters around the coaching that you're doing off the get-go and you sort of have like a start and an end goal, or do you just kind of enter things and then I'm paying you for the rest of my life?
Oh God, no. No offense, but you shouldn't need somebody like me for the rest of your life.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
That's why it's designed 3, 6, or 12 months.
That's my friend. I need you as my friend, Tyler.
Yeah, exactly. And I could be your friend, Des. I can hold space. I just won't coach you through your flames drama. But Jay, good question. And I was 100% you many years ago. Bottle it up till I burst. I think the first time I ever put myself through therapy is when my parents were going through a divorce. Nobody told me to. I was about 19, started to have some shitty thoughts, just couldn't grapple with things, didn't express it to anybody, didn't open up to anybody. Very unhealthy. You know, I broke through that early on and put myself through lots of different therapy thereafter, depending on like I had a business situation. So I really started to crack myself open. But males, for sure, we struggle with that, Jay. I would say a lot of the success one-on-one is incredible, but I find in group settings, especially with males, it seems like this safe container gets formed where one person starts sharing and everyone realizes we all got some of the same shit going on and we just need somebody to hear and listen to it and challenge our thinking. And so for me, especially going back to your question around males, we struggle the most. I definitely have broke through that. And what I see with one-on-one is it's a safe space, so people open up, but in the group setting, it seems to be more impactful because when everyone starts sharing, it's just one of those things where we feed off each other, we feed off the energy. Like it's like dudes don't usually show emotion. You know, I know I've cried in front of 35 people, 300 people. I've shared some pretty deep stuff that the old me wouldn't even touch before. But again, you have to be ready for it. So this isn't something, you know, with respect to clients, this isn't something I want to sell. This is something where I want to provide a coaching experience. And if there's a fit and there's a connection, let's do this. If not, I'm not your guy. There's a million of us out there and that's for a reason. Maybe it's just a connection thing. Maybe people don't like the way I talked or they prefer dealing with a female. It's completely fine, whichever way it goes. But it's not something you can force out of somebody. They have to be ready, or there's some sort of trigger, or somebody close to them said, hey, you should consider some help. Whatever that help is. God, I even went to a sex therapist. It really worked. We can go into details after.
Now, were you married at the time or with a lady, or are you just on your own?
I was married.
Therapy was for married. The single sessions.
No, I was married. Yeah.
I'm going to ask what everyone else is thinking. Was the therapist hot?
He was a nice person.
Nobody else was thinking that. Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is kind of related, but do you remember in It's Old School and Will Ferrell goes with his wife to see the marriage counselor?
Yes.
And he says we're in the safety tree or whatever, right? The treehouse of safety. And yeah. and they talk about they went for a nice dinner at Olive Garden. And and the waitress came and he starts to, you know, she was cute, starts to wonder things. And then he just like goes on about this girl and what she was wearing or underneath what she was wearing.
Yes.
And
that story's going.
You mentioned you went to a sex therapist. My immediate thought was, is she hot? But I didn't even, maybe it was a dude. I don't know. Like, you know, no, sorry.
No, it was a female and I was there for particular reasons and it worked for sure. And she was a nice person.
See, because you're past a place where other people have gotten to, right?
Yes.
And maybe that's how in my head I'm thinking of it. And I'm pretty judgy. So how are you not like, how do you not go to a party and you're standing there going, this person's really fucked up? Or maybe like right now you're sitting with the four of us or the three of us and you're looking at me even or the other two going, yeah, you're pretty fucked up. You should talk to somebody. Like, how do you not, you know, you're at the party and you're saying you're not doing a sales job on anybody, but like, you should talk to somebody because you've seen it. You've seen everything. You've talked about it with, you've had, you know, however many clients you've had between the ages of 30 and 80, you've witnessed and listened to a lot of crap. So how do you sit there at a party and not kind of go, man, oh man, you need to talk to somebody.
Like say Wasim Hakde.
I've not to that yet, there so I go. Wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It's coming up here soon.
Yeah, perfect. I would say, I mean, just as humans, we're all fucked up. I think we all got a bunch of issues. You know, I don't care if you're the biggest house on the street corner or whatever in between. We all have things going on that we're grappling with. To not shut it off, I think I've grappled with, I've always lended an ear to people. I've always been, I know some high school friends used to call me a glue guy because I was always bringing people together and always wanted people together. I just always wanted to foster connection. I'm an empath and it sucked being an empath. It's good.
Yeah, what's that?
I think
what's
it's the secret weapon, but I hold space for people and I can feel, you know, their hurt, their energy, all of the things that are going on, if they share them or body language. And I kind of lead with my heart. And so it's draining. So for me, it's an amazing skill, I suppose, that was just born into me. It's not something I developed, I suppose, but I don't ever say you need coaching. I don't ever say you need therapy. I'm there to speak. And if something comes up and there's some sort of trigger, I would suggest usually a book. I'd suggest a podcast. I'd suggest some sort of resource. Like I have a ton of resources that have helped me, and especially going through certification. I would just offer them generosity of check this out. And perhaps it sparks something in them. Perhaps they have somebody else that they go. But that's how I'm handling it, because otherwise the salesperson in me, which I could sell them in that moment, but that's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah. And it's a good point what you brought up. Like, and I, it must be pretty hard on you because being as judgy as people can be, you know, you are letting them take up space in your mind and then you're trying to help them, but it could come across that you are selling them. Or, you know, if a person's vulnerable, they might think that's gotta be tough.
It is. And so I try to come from an authentic place where I'm not thinking about exactly what you said. I'm trying to just be me. Yeah. Not go to that place of trying to get them as a client. Like I prefer to just create a client. I prefer, like, for right now, everything's been through my network and or referrals.
So how do people find you then?
Again, just network and referrals. And so from there, if it grows from that standpoint, that's to me the best. Because if people have used me for any sort of support, if they've hired me and they have experienced what I do, then they'll be able to speak to it better within their network or somebody that they feel needs help. And it's better to come from them, you know, the experience that somebody that would, you know, go through coaching with me that would hopefully speak some good good things about what it is I did for them.
Interesting position that you're in, because you're in a position where you want to help probably as many people as you can, but you're also doing this soft sale thing because of the nature of the business. And again, I just bring it back to the fact that I think there's a real barrier with regards to, you know, guys like me who just, you know, after talking to you for the last half an hour about what it is that you do as a life coach, that's not my preconceived thought on what it is that you actually do. And so it's good to get the word out because you know, I think I could probably benefit from a lot of the things that you do and just talking with you and working things out. And then, like I say, I think I have a hard time wrapping around in my brain, you know, how we set up parameters about what it is in my life that needs, you know, quote unquote coaching. But what I hear you saying is that you kind of unpack it over time and you really just have to start the conversation and then you kind of work into, you know, where the path takes you.
Yeah, 100%. If somebody doesn't know where to start, like it's something like, I'm going to say Vishen Lekiani, who started Mind Valley, wrote Code of the Extraordinary Mind, just a brilliant person. He's got, you know, a tool that he used for transformation called the three most important questions. You can start as something like that. What experience do you want to have? What growth do you want to have? And what contribution do you want to have? Meaning, what do you want to experience in life? What kind of growth do you want to achieve within your body, mind, soul work? And basically, you know, what are you contributing to society? What's your legacy? What do you want to leave in this planet? And something as basic as that, you can go down so many different paths when you get people just jotting down whatever it is comes to their mind. Take 2 minutes per question and just go from there.
Like, hey, so question, can, is it, because I think partially why people are scared of this stuff is you're gonna go down the rabbit hole and you're gonna really unearth some things that you don't want to deal with. And maybe you never want to. Maybe you get to the age of 80 and you pass away and you never want to deal with the real traumatic stuff that can happen in someone's life. You mentioned that, like, the three things that it's an author or who's the three?
Yeah, he's an author and he designed it.
So one of them was like a legacy. So could someone sit with you and say, okay, a legacy goal of mine or something that I want to work on is a legacy. Do you think in your experience that they can get to something like that without really reflecting and going backwards in history and kind of figuring out what happened? Or can you kind of figure it out, like, without having the tears, without having the meltdown? And I forget how you phrased it earlier on when you first came on, you know, with the person accepting whatever, however it was you phrased it. Can you kind of get past some of this stuff without really having the deep dive on what really messed you up? Is it possible?
100%. Because as soon as they go there, give space to that. But we move on very quickly to focus on the future of what they're struggling with. So it's one of those things where it's handled with care case by case in the moment. But if they call it regress, giving space for that is super important. But if they go too far, then they're off track with their future goal. You know, not to say we're wasting time, but we're burning brain calories at that point, not focusing on what's keeping them up at night on what they want to create and leave for their legacy.
And do you think therapists are appreciative of life coaches and what they can provide, or do they look at you like you're in the way a little bit, and vice versa to you? Do you look at therapists and psychologists as like, I can see it working better for you, like you're a complement to therapists, but therapists, I can see them looking at you going, leave this to us.
Yes. I don't know anyone that said that to me. However, I can 100% see where you're going and think that, yes, a therapist thinking, what business do I have getting into this? I took 9 years of education. Right. I'm super qualified, all of this great stuff, which is 100% true. You know, I would probably have my nose at a joint a little bit on people like me these days, because there is a lot of us out there. It's like Starbucks in every corner, you know, and there's a reason why there's so many, because you can't, You physically cannot deal with a lot of people in a given week or a given month. So that's why there needs to be a lot out there. I think there's space for both.
You're open to this, Tyler, right? Obviously, because you've done a lot of therapy, you've seen the good that comes out of it. But if you've got somebody who like is in trouble, like where do, because there is so much out there, where would you recommend, if there's somebody listening to the podcast, like where does somebody start? Like, and not necessarily to come to you for services or go to a therapist, but like what you said, you'd offer a book or a podcast or a website, like what, where would somebody start?
If anyone listens to this podcast, and I'll share my email and phone number after, it doesn't matter. I'll reveal it all. I would love for them to reach out to me. And one of my, like, I love connecting people. So depending on the circumstance, I would refer them to somebody I know, depending on what it is they need. And, or like I said, we can start depending on what it is with books, resources, podcasts, safe space if they want to ease into it, because perhaps they're not comfortable, you know, really sharing authentically yet with somebody. It really depends. But if they reach out to me, I'm happy to pay it, you know, forward to whomever I feel would serve them better than I. I was going to say, I think back to my days in Winnipeg, I was definitely undiagnosed, clinically depressed, not because I was living in Winnipeg, but it was.
It might do it though.
Yeah. And I got some of my best buddies from there. It's a great place. Perhaps I'm, because being from Thunder Bay, it's sort of the same weather, same size mosquitoes. I don't know. I just seem to fit.
Same sheet ice.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I grappled with a lot of stuff. I just called off an engagement, shut down a business, lost a shit ton of money. My 26, 27 years old with my brother and my dad, it was my idea. I still grapple with the guilt over presenting that to those two, because terrible circumstance that we failed within 12 months. And I didn't seek anybody, and I knew better. And I've been through some therapy twice at that point, and I grappled with it myself. And I'd sit in my condo and then house thereafter crying and struggled for a couple of years. It was tough. So I don't know why I didn't reach out then. I don't think anybody really, I didn't share. So
well, different times.
To your point, I just bottled it up, right? So nobody around me would ever suspect that I was going through that.
Well, whatever you're doing now, you look like a pretty happy guy. And so if we can spread that love around to other people and get them, you know, at least talking and searching out some resources, because it can be a lonely place out there, and it's nice to share things with like-minded individuals. And so I appreciate everything that you said tonight, and I think what you have to offer is pretty valuable.
Thank you. I have one last question. And Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they just can't get past that. Right. There's like that wall in front of them and they can't get past. They sit down in front of you. Tyler, how can we win the Stanley Cup this year? Like, we got terrible goaltending. We got no defense. Our coach is an idiot.
The last two years, they've lost to the Stanley Cup champion. The last 2 years, I might not be able to name five, but they've lost to the Stanley Cup champion. I don't know what you mean, what wall you're talking about. The two best players on the planet. We can't win the game we want.
So I'm just saying, what would you tell them? What do they need to do?
They've been breaking through a lot of shit the last 5 to 8 years up the highway. I think a lot of the therapeutic stuff has already happened. And so they're at a stage where the muscle memory is there. There's no fucking way that they're not going to win the cup this year.
All right.
Oh, he's calling it out right here.
Wow.
Oh,
okay, here we go.
Yeah.
As Sounds an Oilers like, fan, I'm yeah, okay. If they don't win it, but they'll make it to the Cup final this year.
God, yeah.
And the Leafs.
If they don't win it, my response to the Flames fan would be like, when was the last time the Flames were in the Stanley Cup final? And this is where you'll go, the puck was in. The puck was in.
It is.
And you were a Flames fan back then. You spent 14 minutes on with Mike Bartlett talking about some Tampa Bay. Like, oh my God, I went to Tampa Bay. And now all of a sudden you're an Oilers fan.
I love it. I'm going to send you some Oilers stuff.
You can be in Canada. You can be multiple team likers. It's not like we're in Europe where your dad sits you down and you live in Sheffield and you're like, listen, you have to cheer Sheffield United, whether they get relegated to the third division or they're in the champions, whatever. I don't even know what it's called anymore. You have to cheer for Sheffield United because your grandpa cheers for them and your uncle cheers for them.
You freaking
and
your do uncle's have to uncle's do that. Where are you them? Creating these new rules? You have to do that. I've been a fan United of my States? Team since the get-go.
I've never heard you. That's great. And as a guy, I appreciate that.
Jay, like, in all these years, have you ever heard him say, I'm an Oilers fan?
I actually have. I will back him
up. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, Desmond, but he has actually said he's an Oilers fan.
Edit that out, producer Jim.
Dunk and I actually went to an Oilers Flames game up at Edmonton in their old barn.
Oh, good barn.
Together, and he was cheering for the Oilers that night.
I wore my Oilers jersey that night, too.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, and I own an Oilers jersey, and I own a Flames jersey, and I own an LA jersey, and I own a Rangers jersey.
God, oh, wow. You're just like you're
I also have a couple. I have a Lemieux and a Gretzky jersey. I mean, is that that's one of the greatest arguments of all time? Well, I got them both.
Tyler, if you ever want to meet my wife, you don't have to. You just have to look at Dunk. That's my wife right there. He's the male version of my wife. They cheer for 26 teams in the NFL. When we go to NFL games, my wife wears the jersey and or some other garment from both teams that are playing and for teams that aren't even playing that day.
See, that's odd.
She just loves everyone.
I would never
go to an Oilers game and wear the Oilers jersey, but a Flames hat. Like, I'm not doing that.
No, you probably have the shirt on underneath.
Des does that.
Peel it off. Peel it off, whoever wins.
He's done that too. Exactly. Right, Des?
What?
You've worn a Flames jersey under an Oilers jersey and vice versa.
Yeah, I lost a bet.
Oh,
I had to wear an Oilers jersey to a Flames-Oilers game. So I had to wear it.
You lost a bet.
I did. Well, I lost like six bets in a row.
So obviously, Tyler, we've talked a lot about obviously what it is that you do and what you can do for people and then the resources that you have access to and the kinds of people that you want to chat with going forward. And so maybe tell us a little bit about like the name of your company, your business, how do we reach out to you? All those kinds of good things.
Great. Yes, for sure. I recently changed my company name because I set it up as Life Coaching by Tyler Nicolets, like a lot of coaches do. They just use their name, but you know, it's not about me. It's about my clients. So it didn't sit with me well. So I've changed my name to Rise and Thrive Worldwide. And so that reflects the type of clients that I want to attract, that I want to see them elevate their game and empower them, see their growth, see their vitality, well-being, success all be achieved. So I changed it to Rise and Thrive Worldwide. And it really fits because I do have clients overseas.
That's awesome.
And yeah. And on that note, you know, if it's overseas, I use phone, I use video, WhatsApp for calling. A lot of people like to just be on the phone. Some people are exhausted by video and you know, some of these sessions talking to people,
right?
It is. Yeah. Through the phone makes you intensify your listening, if you will, mm-hmm. and help, you know, people just get rid of all the other senses and just really focus. So WhatsApp works for those people. If it's local, same thing. There's, you know, I even do like a day out in the mountains, adventurous type days. Go to Windsport because we're here in Calgary and have an adventurous day and work in coaching and get people out of their comfort zones. If it's a group session, rent a room somewhere depending on the group. So I like that
flexibility, right? Because people are busy in their lives and it's hard to fit these extracurricular items into the life that can be very, very valuable, right? But sometimes, you know, the thoughts of taking a lot of time away to meet in person with somebody across town and have that rigidness can be a barrier, right? So that's really cool. As you know, the world's changing and I see it in my business too, but I think that's really cool that you can do it this line of work in so many different communication styles.
Yeah, I people have done that for me, so I want to pay it forward and you know, it's just we need that flex. Everyone's a little different.
That's cool. So how do we reach you?
Yeah.
Website, telephone, what does that look like?
Yeah. So website, I said earlier, I don't sell too much, but there will be a website in the future and there'll be some social media stuff for sure. But at this point, please call, email me and text me. Phone number is 587-437-7000. 2334. Email is Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, at TylerNicolets.com. So T-Y-L-E-R at T-Y-L-E-R. N is in Norman, I-C-H-O-L-E, double T, S is in Sam.com.
Well, that's exciting stuff. I appreciate you sharing all this information and contact information with us. And hopefully, you know, there's some people that listen here that are excited by what you talk about and enjoy the vibe of your voice. And maybe there's some good connections that you can make here. And so, yeah, thanks again for being on the show and obviously sharing all this information.
Thank you. Love it. So good, gents. Thanks for having me. Had a blast.
Okay, well, that was a pretty good chat with Tyler. Some interesting thoughts and points there. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but yeah.
No, I enjoyed it, man. I thought it was good. I mean, it has its highs and lows, but that it comes with the topic. But I think he had a lot of good things to say. And yeah, I think some people should pick up the phone and give him a shout.
We forgot to touch on emails. And I think we did get one in the middle of summer from Paul O'Toole.
He was missing us, that guy, I think.
Yeah, well, no, he just said... He just sent us a
picture of
Narcos when Pablo Escobar was sitting on the swing and he said, "This is me waiting for the next episode. I feel like I'm Adam level tech savviness right now. At least I'm not saying this on a flip phone. Hope you boys are having a good summer. Look forward to the next episode." Well, it's dropping soon.
Well, we're at it. And I don't know what he means by Adam level tech savviness.
Well, low
you're the guy that doesn't have a microphone or earphones tonight because
no, like, Desmond's figure always out how to work the guy it. That we're sitting there waiting for him to turn his video on or perfect. He gets him he's the guy. He's the low tech savvy guy.
Nah.
I'm middle of the road, and then Jay claims to be freaking guru when it comes to technology. Oh, yeah, you're using Android. Oh, you're using Apple.
Dude, you whatever still have an 8-track player in your car.
The answer to it is the opposite of what you're using. Oh, you've got Microsoft Outlook.
I don't say it like that. But
are you using Word? Oh yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well,
I love it when you add like an accent to people's voices because that does not sound like
that. Wasn't an accent. That wasn't an accent. Well,
it's an imitation. It's a bad imitation.
Still Canadian.
Terrible bad imitation.
So I guess next things next. Well, we've got to get another episode out here before
Christmas
or Christmas at least.
Hey man, life's busy. We got a lot of stuff going on in our middle age, right? Like it's tough, but yeah, we'll get around to it. All right. Well, that was fun, boys. It's good to see you. Well, that brings us to the end of our 20th episode of our podcast. It's kind of neat how the number of podcasts converged at the same time of the number of listeners right at 20. Amazing. But it was
how many we have left. That's how many have left because we haven't had one in 9 months.
That's true. That's true. Well, as always, boys, it was good to see you. It was good to hang out with you. Have a nice little chat. I think we learned something tonight with Tyler and what he can offer. And even if he's not your guy, we need to talk about things. So, you know, feel free to reach out and get some resources that you need for yourself. And then other than that, I just hope you guys have a great week. And hopefully we chat soon. But other than that, I think that's a wrap, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. All right. Take care, guys.
Yeah, you too, guys. Good seeing you again.
Great. See you.
Ciao.
Bye.